the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
Praise the Lord. It is such a joy to see you all this morning. If you're here visiting with us, we're so glad that you are here. It's always a privilege to stand behind this pulpit and preach the glorious and wonderful Word of God. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19, and we'll begin reading in verse 38. If you are able, please stand as we read the Word of God together. John 19 and verse 38. This passage of Scripture, as I was reading it last week and touched on it as we preached the message last week, it really grasped my heart, and I want to look at it more in depth this morning. John 19 and verse 38, it says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, a new tomb, wherein was never a man yet laid. And there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." I want to speak to you this morning on this thought, Joseph of Arimathea, the secret disciple. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the preaching of His infallible Word. Now do your best to try to picture this scene before us in your mind. It was a very, very dark day for the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a very dark day for those disciples, those 11 remaining disciples, as their Lord and their Master was crucified. And He was dead, and virtually so was their fate. And we know that the Lord warned them earlier. He warned those 11 disciples earlier. He said, "You will be scattered, every man to his own. To his own, you will leave me alone." Jesus was saying, when they arrest me and when they beat me and when they crucify me, you will not stand with me. You'll scatter and you'll leave me alone. And sadly, those words were true. Now when we come to this hour, He was dead upon the cross. And His enemies thought at this time that this was His end. They thought they finally got rid of their problem. All the while, His friends, His followers, those 11 remaining disciples, they also thought that this was the end. And this is why they fled in fear. We know when we come to this portion of Scripture that it is only John and a few faithful women who watched with their own eyes the painful death on the cross. These were the only ones who were true to the very end. They were faithful even unto death. But the question is for these faithful followers of Christ who did remain unto the end, what could they ever do to acquire or obtain the precious body of the Lord Jesus Christ? What could they ever do to give their Lord and Master an honorable burial? You see, normally, and they knew this, normally for those who were accused of sedition, those who were accused of leading a revolt against Rome, The Romans would not take down the body and bury it. They would normally leave it up for the buzzards to finish it off. Or if they did take the body down, they would throw the body on a trash heap just outside of Jerusalem that burned with fire constantly, day and night. It was called Gehenna. And we know, of course, Gehenna was used as a metaphor by the Lord Jesus Christ to describe a place of torment, to describe a place of where the fire never quenches. That place is called hell. But it is at this moment that this man, Joseph of Arimathea, of whom we have never heard before, and of whom we will never hear again. But it was at this moment that Joseph of Arimathea was the very man that was needed for such a time as this. Listen, beloved, those faithful ladies and John would have never been allowed to have had the body of Jesus. They would have never even been allowed to come in the presence of Pilate. But a man of influence, a rich man, a man who was a member of the Sanhedrin, a man who carried a lot of weight in the world. Now that man could be one to influence Pilate to release the body of Jesus. And well, Joseph of Arimathea was such a man. He was a man of means. He was a man of influence and power. And it's very interesting that Joseph of Arimathea is mentioned by every gospel writer. And each and every gospel writer tells us at least something about this man. We find in Mark chapter 15 and verse 43, that Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. And it says, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. Now that means that Joseph had come to the conviction that Jesus was indeed the Messianic King. So he was waiting for the kingdom of God, coming, it says, and taking courage. He went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. So Joseph here, he most likely watched the very crucifixion of Christ with his own eyes. And seeing that no one was going to care for the precious body of Jesus, he went in boldly into Pilate's presence and desired the body of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that he obtained it. He acquired it. Really, this passage of Scripture is a rather odd scene, isn't it? It's rather odd. I mean, the ones to whom were the followers of Jesus, the ones who followed him while he was alive, now at his death, can't be found. But here is one who did not follow Jesus while he was alive, but now comes forth out of the shadows and now identifies with Jesus in his death. It's a rather odd scene. But do you know what I see from this? That God will always have His witnesses. He will always have His friends. Even when it seems that no one will stand. Even when it seems that everyone has gone His own way. God will never lack His witnesses. His friends. I love what the psalmist said. The Lord will always keep His faithful seed alive on this earth. Though they may be a remnant, the seed of God will never perish. Hey, listen, our Lord remains in complete control even in this hour. He is in complete control. our Lord remains, and listen, so shall truth always remain. Listen, just as God always remains, so too the gospel will also remain. Even though our Lord hangs lifeless upon the cross at this hour, on this darkest day of history, God is in complete control. And my, what an encouragement this is to us. That whenever we go through the gloomy, dark days of life, to know that He is in control. For we know that if the Lord was in total control while hanging lifeless on the cross, He is in total control even in our darkest days. Even during the days that we have to lay our loved one down in death. Even during those dark days of when we get that diagnosis from the doctor, or that darkest hour we may lose a job or whatever the situation is. Well, on this dark day, in this darkest hour of that day, God raises up this man, Joseph of Arimathea, to do what even his longtime followers would not do. Oh my, listen. Think about all the Josephs in the Bible that God did raise up in times of desperation. I think about Joseph and there was a Joseph for Israel in Egypt. Here was one Joseph who stood up for God. And he stood up for God's people when no one else would. And then we think about Joseph. We cannot help but think about Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. A man whom God raised up to hold to such a divine place as being the earthly father of God's only begotten Son. And here we see another Joseph. Who did what no other man would dare do. And that was arranged for the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, the Lord will never be without His witnesses. The Lord will never be without His friends. There was a dark day in Israel. In the Old Testament when all the eyes of Israel's men, they were cowering down to this giant named Goliath. Not one single Israelite soldier would dare to meet this giant in battle. But there came a day when the loud echoing voice of the giant fell on the ears of a young shepherd boy named David. And David, having the courage that came only from God, did what no other man on that day would ever do. He faced the giant. And we know that the Lord wrought a mighty victory that day by using a person that we all would have dismissed on this day, a young shepherd boy. Oh, my dear friend, the Lord will never be without His witnesses. Listen, even in our day, even in this hour when it seems that sin is winning and when it seems that God's people have no holy boldness whatsoever, listen, God will raise up some Joseph somewhere that in the moment of greatest need will rise to the occasion. Hey, listen, we don't ever need to worry about who will be the next pastors, the next evangelists. We don't ever have to fret as to who will be the next George Whitfields or who will be the next Charles Spurgeon or the Billy Grahams and D.L. Moody's. We know that God will raise up a man. And so this morning, I want to speak to you concerning this man, Joseph of Arimathea, the secret disciple. As I've already said, we don't hear of Joseph anymore after this record in history. He's kind of like a shooting star that you watch in the night sky that quickly appears and it's very bright. But once you blink, it's gone. And that's the way he is in Scripture. But notice, first of all, as we think about this man, we see Joseph of Arimathea. We see his reluctance. We see his reluctance. The Bible tells us that he was a disciple of Christ, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Now, Joseph being a disciple of Christ is a good thing, right? That's a wonderful thing, to be a learner, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you are a disciple of Christ today. But Joseph being a disciple of Jesus secretly is not a good thing whatsoever. Now listen, there are many honorable things that we can learn from this man's life, but he being a secret disciple at this time of Jesus is not one of them. Most likely, Joseph was a secret disciple because of the fear of man. But remember what the proverb says. The fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings to you a dangerous trap. And if you are the slaves of fear today, because you fear men, listen, it weakens your ministry and prevents you from giving glory to God that He is due. Oh, listen, the psalmist cried. He said, fear Him, ye saints. Fear the Lord, ye saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now the question we must ask this morning is this. Why was Joseph of Arimathea a secret disciple? Why was he a secret disciple? Why did he remain in the shadows for so long? Well, maybe, just maybe, it was his personality. Maybe this was his natural disposition. Maybe he was the kind of person that was rather shy and rather bashful, more timid. I mean, every person is different, right? Many are by nature very bold. Some are a little too bold for their own good. And there are those certain individuals who rush in where angels fear to tread. But like Spurgeon said, they are fearless because they are brainless. And so we don't need to fall into that direction. But on the other hand, there are many who are too cautious. There are many who are just plain too timid. And they have to give it all they got just to take a stand. Listen, there are some of you who will not stand up for Christ at work. There are some of you who will not stand up for Christ at school because you are just plain too cautious. You're just plain too timid. You don't want to ruffle the feathers of anyone else. But my dear friend, let me tell you something. You cannot hide behind your personality and say, well, this is just who I am. I'm just very timid. I'm very cautious. Well, try that in the army, okay? Join the army and say, well, listen, Sergeant, I can't really go out in the battle. I'm just not that kind of a person. I'm too timid. Yeah, you try that one time, right? Listen, we are in the Lord's army. We are soldiers of Christ. And it's never a good thing. It's never a good thing if you are ultra timid to foster that timidity or to nurture it. Listen, fear of man or being a secret disciple is a weed that must be pulled up. It does not need to be nurtured. I love what the old hymn says. Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Oh, we may pray, I pray, that the Lord would strengthen our courage today by the help of the Holy Spirit. But when I think about Joseph of Arimathea, that what may have kept him in his secrecy was the fact that we know that he was a rich man. He was a rich man. And listen, there's a sad truth in Scripture. As Jesus says this, He said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Listen, beloved, riches does not strengthen our courage for Christ. Wealth in and of itself does not grow our boldness for Christ. Now let me be quick to say, however, that wealth can be a great blessing that can be used by the person who has been saved. Praise the Lord for those who have been saved and use their wealth as God would have them to use it. But on the other hand, it brings with it certain temptations to the man who has never been saved. It is to him in many ways a terrible hindrance to him coming to know the Lord. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. You see, those first disciples of Jesus, those fishermen, hey, listen, they were quick to leave their boats and their nets. But for a rich man such as Joseph of Arimathea, listen, he was much slower to leave all for Christ's sake. What did the young rich ruler do when Jesus told him that if you're not willing to sell all of your possessions and all your goods, you cannot be a follower of me? What did he do? The young man turned away in sorrow from the Lord at just the thought of him possibly having to sell all that he had. Hey, listen, back when the main mean of transportation from continent to continent was by a ship, I've read that the swimmers who swam to safety whenever a ship sank were those swimmers who cast aside every weight. On the other hand, the others who sank straight down to the bottom only did so because they tried to secure their gold around their waist. They tried to tie the gold and their money around their waists. You see, friend, gold sinks men just as quick as lead sinks men. How many today are sinking in the sea of sin, all because their wealth is like a rock to them? Oh, listen, riches can puff men up and keep them from humbling themselves to find the pearl of great price. Well, I believe Joseph of Arimathea's wealth, it made him overly cautious. It made him overly timid and kept him from being an open follower of Jesus. And I pray that if any of you this morning who love the Lord and are following the Lord in secret because of the fear of men, where you have never openly confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, never confessed your faith to others, I pray that you would have the God-given courage in this day and time in which we live to be a public follower of the Lord Jesus. I know it may seem hard to receive the cold shoulder from society and to be ridiculed from society. But listen, my dear friend, if you are a secret believer, you need to confess it and repent of that. It was Joseph of Arimathea who was a great loser. In reality, he was the one who was a great loser because of his secrecy. I mean, just think about it. He did not live with Jesus as many of the other disciples did. I mean, during that precious period of time when men walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus and they ate and drank with Jesus, Joseph was not with them. He was not among the 12, and it is quite possible that he could have been if he only had courage, more courage. But because he tarried, because he waited, he lost out on many of those intimate times in which the Lord Jesus gave those wonderful instructions and teachings to his disciples. Joseph lost a lot of blessings by being a secret disciple. But friend, listen, this is what happens when you follow Christ afar off. You lose out on the blessings of following Him closely. And so, let the secrecy of Joseph's devotion be a warning to us all here that name the name of Christ only privately. Now, we have too many reluctant Joseph of Arimathea's today who are reluctant to follow Jesus openly and boldly. Notice, we not only see Joseph's reluctance, but we see his resolve. Thankfully, we see his resolve. We know that in verse 38, he asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. He went in before Pilate and did something that no one else would do. And as we read in Mark chapter 15, that he went into there boldly. He had courage. And so we've seen Joseph earlier as he was very reluctant to identify himself with Christ, but praise the Lord, he didn't stay that way. Joseph did identify himself with Christ, and listen, so will you. If you are a true believer, if you are a true follower of Christ, you will identify yourself with Christ publicly. If you are a born again believer, you will have to make a stand for Christ sooner or later. And so knowing that fact, why don't you do that now? It is much better to take that stand now, sooner rather than later. You will at some point have to encounter reproach from the world. You will at some point have to encounter ridicule from those who hate the Lord Jesus. But listen, go ahead and face it now. Jesus said this in Matthew 10 and verse 32. He said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Listen, beloved, that means much more than just you standing up in front of the church, standing up in front of those who love Christ and telling them that you have been saved. It means much more than that. Listen, Jesus is talking about confessing Him to a world that hates Him. And confessing Him to a world that despises Him. And because they despise Him, they despise you. But listen, at some point you will have to confess Christ before an ungodly world. Why not start now? Why are you a secret disciple? Why are you a secret believer that the only people that know, that may have an inclination that you are saved, is your family or those here at the church? But your lifestyle at work or at school says otherwise. Why are you so ashamed of Christ? The one who gave His life for you. The one who died for you. Because when you do, when you take a stand for Christ, it will bring unto you great joy. Joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. No more will you ever have to worry about having the guilt laid upon your heart and your soul by you denying the one who gave His life for you. Joseph of Arimathea, he was tired of the guilt in his life. He was tired of the shame that he felt every time that he knew he should take a stand for Christ and did not. Well, what was it that moved this man? What was it that moved Joseph of Arimathea from his reluctancy to now him being resolved to stand for Christ? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It is the power of the cross. The power of the cross. Is it not a remarkable thing as we look at this, that it was not the life of Christ that brought about His resolve to identify Himself with Christ, but rather it was Christ's death upon the cross that brought about His boldness to identify Himself with Christ. I mean, think about how wonderful and how majestic Christ's life was upon this earth. Think about our Lord's miracles. Think about our Lord's teaching, His wonderful teaching. Think about His great humility that He displayed. And then think about His impeccable life of holiness. Now, yes, all of those things, no doubt, helped to build up Joseph in his secret faith, but it never emboldened him to leave his power. It never encouraged him to leave his wealth and an influence to follow Christ. No, listen, it was the shameful death of the cross that moved the very heart of Joseph to come out from among the shadows and identify himself with the Lord. And so we see it was not the beauty of Christ's life that changed Joseph's heart. It was the shameful death of the Son of God at the hands of evil men that changed the very heart of Joseph. Now the question is to you this morning, those of you who are timid and afraid to identify yourselves with Christ in public, the question is whether the cross will not have the same influence over you today as it did in Joseph's life. Well, listen, beloved, I believe it will. If you will gaze upon the cross of Christ, I believe it will if you'll fix your mind and your eyes upon the crucified Christ. And I believe it will if the Holy Spirit opens up your eyes and your hearts to the truth of the cross by faith. And no doubt to Joseph, he knew that Christ's death on the cross was such a wicked act that it moved his heart in such a way that he must come forward. He can remain silent no longer. He must identify himself with this just man, this innocent man. And I believe when he saw the death of an innocent man by the hands of evil man, he said, I cannot be silent any longer. I have got to identify myself with the Holy and the Just One. He came out from his fear and was the servant that God used to bring about the burial of God's only begotten Son. He did not care of the price that he would have to pay. He knew that he must align himself up with truth. And yes, at this point, the precious life of our Lord had now maliciously had been taken away. He was late. Joseph was late. He was sadly late. But listen, he wasn't too late. He was not too late. He did come and identify himself with the crucified Christ. Oh, friend, listen. You who are living the life of a secret disciple, won't you quit hiding in fear today of what others may say about you or do to you? In this evil day in which we live, will you not stand up for Him? He is your Savior. He is your Lord. Listen, do not be slow to claim Him. The cross of Christ moved Joseph to action. It moved him to at least become the Lord's caretaker of his now dead body. But what moved Joseph from his reluctant state to his now resolved state? As I said, the power of the cross. And I cannot help but wonder, did Joseph hear Jesus say to his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? I wonder if Joseph was in earshot range to hear that. I wonder, did he hear the words of Christ as Christ cried out in anguish and in pain, "I thirst"? No doubt Joseph witnessed the supernatural events that took place on the day that Jesus died. The Gospels tell us that the sun was darkened. Even at the brightest point of the day, the sun was darkened. There was a great earthquake, and the graves burst open with life. And we know that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top, because that way it could be explained that the men tore, but it was torn from top to bottom. And we know that all these supernatural events that I just mentioned even convinced the Roman centurion that this was a righteous man. So the time was come when he must boldly act as Christ's disciple. I wonder this morning, have you not seen in your life some unmistakable wonders that you know to be of God that have stirred your heart and stirred your soul? No answers to prayer? No providential deliverances? Listen, should not these things lead you to take a bold stand for Christ and to be bold for His glory? What else does He have to do to show you that He is your Lord? Hey friend, listen, if the cross does not bring a man out to identify himself with Christ, what will? If the death of Christ does not move us into having a courageous affection for Him, what can? Joseph of Arimathea, he could not stand it any longer. He leaves the Jewish council. He leaves the Sanhedrin. But he clings to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Joseph of Arimathea revealed himself as our Lord's disciple, remember, our Lord's friends and His 11 remaining disciples, they had mostly fled. And we could easily say they all departed. But then Joseph said, he said, I will go in and I will beg for the body of Jesus. When everybody else runs away, then it's the timid man who suddenly becomes very brave and bold for Christ. Remember the people that were true to the Lord Jesus, those that remained, they could not do anything to obtain the Lord's body from Pilate. He would not even receive them, but Joseph is of a man of influence. He's a man of means. He was powerful, and he got into the presence of Pilate and asked him for the body, and Pilate gave him the body of Jesus Christ. Well, we've seen Joseph and his reluctance to identify himself with Christ. We see then his resolve, his determination to do so. And then notice we see, lastly, Joseph's risk. His risk. Joseph identified himself with Christ. And when he did, he resolved to leave the Jewish council and cling to Christ. And when he did so, he put himself under personal risk. I read about a Christian slave whose master was executed for being a Christian. The slave went before the judge and he begged for the body of his master that he might give his master an honorable burial. The judge replied to the slave, "Why do you wish for your master's body?" The slave replied, "Because he was a Christian. And I am a Christian." And it was upon this confession that he himself was condemned to die. Oh, listen, for Joseph of Arimathea, this is exactly what could have happened when he met with Pilate. Pilate was already irritated with the Jewish leaders. He could have easily just sent him away. Here we see he may have been a secret disciple for a long time, but now he puts his life on the line as he boldly goes before Pilate. And the Bible says that he asked, he besought, he pleaded for the body of Jesus. That means he went before Pilate and he begged him, he implored to have it. And Pilate gave him what he asked for. He put it all on the line to identify himself with Christ. Now, do you think if it came down to it for you, would you jeopardize every earthly good and position that you have, if need be? Your money, your job, your home, would you do that for Christ if need be? Could you do it? Can you leave it all for Christ if it was ever called upon you to do so? Even if it meant you losing your position and power, could you take up the cross and follow your Lord? Well, certainly, He is worthy. Should we ever have to count the cost? For He is the one who gave up His life for us. And it's very interesting that Joseph here, he defiled himself. According to the Jewish Pharisaical tradition, he defiled himself in two ways. Number one, he touched a dead body. The Pharisees were very fanatical that they were not to touch a dead body. Joseph of Arimathea was glad to touch the dead body of Jesus. And then we also read in John 18 and 28 that they believed that they would be defiled if they entered into Pilate's hall. But for Joseph of Arimathea to take the body of Jesus, and because he entered into the halls of Pilate, according to the Jews, it brought upon himself to be ceremonially unclean and polluted. Now listen, that right there may seem very small to you and I living in this day and being a Gentile and living in Arkansas. But it was a big deal to a Jew. Big deal to a Pharisee. Especially during the Passover week. But he counted the cost and he handled the blessed body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he defiled himself in the judgment of the Jews. But oh, listen, I tell you that he did not think that there was any defilement whatsoever to touch the blessed body of his Lord. He counted it an honor to touch that holy body that was prepared by God himself. And then this man, having risked his life and given up his honor, was content to spend a great deal of money for the burial of his Lord. The Bible tells us there that he bought the myrrh, he bought the aloe, 100 pounds. Very expensive. And then he went on to buy the fine linen that was used to wrap the body of our Lord. And then he bought that rock-hewn sepulcher, that tomb which was the ambition of every Israelite to possess. But he cheerfully gave it up that the Lord might use it. You see, beloved, he not only identified himself with Christ, but he, in very much practical ways, ministered to Christ as best as he could. And oh, how this should teach us today that whenever you follow Christ, you are to follow him always in very practical ways. That is, doing what you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning. Do you identify with Christ with your money? Do you identify with Christ with your money? Listen, some of you may verbally claim that you'd be willing to give up all of your possessions and all of your money and all your wealth if need be to be a follower of Christ. But you begrudgingly give unto the Lord. And you hate it when you even have to give even a tenth of what you own to the Lord's work. How can you say that you'd be willing to give up all your possessions, all of your money, if it ever came to that, if you're not willing to even give up a tenth of what he has given you? Listen, if that is the case with you, you are not identifying yourself with Christ whatsoever. You cannot keep back your wallet or your purse from him and yet say at the same time, I am his, and do nothing for him. Martin Luther rightly said, and it's on our church sign, he said, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. What is your following of Christ in this world costing you today? What is it costing you? You say, well, Brother Wade, I'm here this morning. Well, that's great. It's easy to come and sit among God's people. But it is a total different thing to identify yourself with the people, to identify yourself with Christ, with the people who hate Christ. Are you a secret disciple that only names the name of Christ when you are in amongst a group of people that name the name of Christ? Listen, why don't you come out and be numbered with Christ and His people today? Listen, all you that are hiding in fear and who have never counted the cost, there is no doubt those who, maybe some who claim to be saved and attend the services, maybe even regularly, but never join the church. They have never identified themselves with Christ through believers' baptism. Listen, if that is you, do not let another Sunday go by where you spurn the opportunity to identify yourself with God and His people. Joseph of Arimathea, where are you? Come and identify yourself with Christ. It's best to do it sooner than later. Listen, if you have followed the Lord in secret, come out from behind your cowardice of secrecy and follow Him. And be the bravest of the brave. We're living in a day and time where many Christians around the world are being persecuted. They literally are giving up everything they have to identify themselves with Christ. Many even their own lives. I guarantee you, there were no secret disciples there. If they were willing to give up their homes and their possessions and even their life for Christ, they were not secret disciples. Maybe you're here today and you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you for your cowardice, your timidity, you're overly cautious. You don't want to ruffle any feathers. Oh, may the Lord give you courage. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You know that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart and soul. You know that you're lost and you need to come to Christ and identify yourself with Christ through faith and by repentance. I pray that you will not let this day go by before you call upon Him to save you. Let's pray together. Our gracious and kind Heavenly Father, Lord, what a powerful passage of Scripture. One that is so challenging and so convicting. Father, I pray that the same courage that Joseph of Arimathea had would be ours today. And Lord, there's not a greater time for all of God's people to take a stand for what is right than this day and time in which we're living in. And I pray here at Beryl, at this church, that there would not be any secret disciples. Those secret believers who are just too cautious and too timid to stand up for your Son Jesus. Father, I pray that you give us a holy boldness to do what others would never do or would not do, and that is to stand for you in these days. And Father, we ask upon you to bless this time of response. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to the Lord.